Good evening, Remnant. Welcome to the Radio Ranch. It is Thursday, May 30th, 2024. Thank you for joining us. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you from the Radio Ranch. Been a beautiful day, a beautiful spring here in Wyoming. Want to thank you for joining us. Hope you are having a blessed spring. We sure are here. Well, got some current events to talk to you about tonight, some things that are going on that, they need intervention, that's for sure. They are the symptoms. They are showing us what the issue is. Thought we'd share a few of those and want to read a little bit out of Ezra. I think that that's where I've been led to for tonight. And I think it's got a good point. It shows that that we are all to be involved. That there's no one person to come and to take us out of this, but we all have to be involved in this, all of the true followers of Jesus Christ. Well, let's start out in prayer to him before we go any further. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone, Lord, to stand in the gap, to continue to share your truths and your word, Lord, and to hopefully encourage the remnant, to encourage those that love you, Lord, that we might not lose faith, that we might see through the trials and the tribulations and the mess that this nation has fallen into. And Lord, that we might see to your glorious throne, that we might see these things through the lens of the scriptures, that Lord, these things that are happening were prophesied, were told of, Lord, and it is because you keep your word that these things are happening, that what was once a Christian, joyous, safe, and healthy nation, Lord, is no more. It is no more. And Lord, that we are witnessing the demise, the fall of the government that has come in, that has arisen, that knows not Joseph and knows not you, but come to steal, kill, and destroy. And that is what we are witnessing. Guard us, Lord. Guide us. Direct us to do what is pleasing to you. Lord, we claim the promises of your word of protection for those that follow you. Lord, I claim the promises of Psalms 91 as we, Lord, as we look to your word and you for our health and safety and welfare. And we trust in you and your promises, Lord, and we thank you for them. Guide and direct me tonight, Lord, and let this be an encouragement to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, interesting times that we are in, certainly. The weather, remnant, we encourage you to pray for the remnant all across the country. The Midwest, the South has just been hammered. Kentucky and Tennessee with tornadoes and just all over. So we encourage you to keep those. When you see these things on the news, and sometimes you have to search a little bit. Sometimes the media doesn't put them out. They might make a mention, but there were, over the Memorial Day weekend, over 20 killed in violent storms across this nation. And just because it didn't happen to you, be thankful for that. But pray for those that it did. Pray for those families that it did impact, those towns that were impacted. We are to be aware and cognizant of these things that are happening, not just when they happen in our neighborhood. Well, I saw this out. I want to let you know we are printing Volume 6 of The Dragon Slayer. It's entitled Going to the Prophets. And pretty good bit. I think you're going to enjoy it. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. We've got some things on sale, some books and pamphlets, and I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. There's a couple of new books that Jason found that we've got advertised in the front cover. I wanted to share just a minute with you just to share a few things. I have not had a chance to read them. I've had a chance to glance through them, but I'm looking forward to them. And one is by Joel Salatin, and it's called Everything I Want to Do is Illegal: War Stories from the Local Food Front. And it highlights that Americans really don't have the freedom to choose the food they purchase and eat, from things like child labor regulations to food inspection, just how the system, he points out how the system favors the large industrial global corporate food system over the community-based providing of food. And so anyway, we encourage you to take a look. He points out why local food is so expensive and difficult to find, and And I think he points out what many of us have seen in our local areas, that, you know, it's just hard. Now, out here, I think Wyoming, Colorado as well, I think Nebraska, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, that's what I can speak on, has provided these, you know, home craft rules that if you're raising food in a garden or eggs or things like that, that your little, you know, a little home market, that's okay. But there's still just a hand of bureaucracy in it, and it doesn't favor local grown over the benefits or that the large corporations get. Not that that's a benefit, but they have the large corporations have the almost a monopoly on the food system. So anyway, it does. It looked very interesting. Like I said, I've just glanced through it. I haven't read it, but I'm looking forward to it. It's called Everything I Want to Do is Illegal. Again, war stories from the local food front. And so I'm looking forward to seeing it to reading it. And the other new book that we've got is an Entrepreneur's Guide to Start and Succeed in a Farming Enterprise, and it's called You Can Farm. As hard as it may seem, and again, we have more ranches out here than farms, but a lot of places around, there are farms around. There are apple farms and tree farms and different things like that. And so it says, while this book can be helpful to all farmers, it targets the wannabes also, the folks who actually entertain notions of living, loving, and learning on a piece of land. It says anyone willing to dance with such a dream should be able to assess its assets and liabilities, its fantasies and realities. Is it really possible for me is the burning question this book, entitled You Can Farm, addresses. So if you've ever thought about it, and, you know, thankfully, Remnant, we do have, there are people that are thinking about it, not just retirees, not just those that have maybe made their money and then just want to escape out to the country, but we do have some in this newer generation and generations that are coming up that have that desire, that want to homestead, that want to get out and raise their family away from the city, that want to raise their children where they can run around, where they can have chickens and maybe goats, maybe raise a steer for beef and have a garden and things like that. That is something that is innately in many of us. We have that law written on our heart. We are of Adam, who is from the earth, was created out of the dust. And Adam, he was created to what? To tend the garden. When you go back and look at the creation story, go back and read it. No, don't go ask any pastor about it, but go back and read it. And you see that all these things were spoken into existence. And then God looks around and says, I need somebody to take care of this place, to tend the garden. So he does something different. He gets down on his hands and knees and he digs in the dirt, and out of the dust he makes, he creates. He doesn't speak it into existence. He creates with his hands Adam. And then he breathes the breath of life into him. You read the story. It's there in Genesis. You go back and read it and see if you don't see that there he created someone to take care of this place. To walk in the garden with him. To fellowship with God. And when we do that, when we get our hands into the earth, when we fellowship with God, in planting and growing and farming and ranching and doing those type of things, I think that we are, it's not that we have to, but there is a a calmness and a closeness that comes with that. I've seen studies that say that when you dig in the earth, whether it's soil in your garden and things like that, that aroma it releases, it's almost like pheromones. cortisol or whatever they call it, that has a calming effect and has a like the old Eagles used to sing about, that peaceful, easy feeling it brings about. And that is by design. Now, we've moved so far away from that as a people, so far away from that. And so I encourage you, you know, here it is spring. It's not too late to plant if you haven't planted. I know many people, many people have. I've talked to many of the remnant that are talking about how their garden's growing. I've got radishes coming up in the hoop house, and I've got some lettuce planted. It's starting to break ground, and the carrots are just about, the green carrot tops are about an inch tall, so it's starting. And I can tell you from experience, it is. If you can't plant a big kitchen garden, if you don't have acreage, that's fine. You know, even a couple of five-gallon buckets or a small patio-type garden or anything at all that you can do, it's not just to grow your own food, but it is health for you as well. It really is. It really is. So, again, have a couple new books. We are printing Volume 6 of The Dragon Slayer. We appreciate your prayers that goes well and goes smooth. Printing today. We'll print tomorrow, Friday. Next week, it's a multi-week operation. It really is. But now we're in the printing, so should have that in the mail next week, the 1st of June. And that's for Volume 6. So, again, we thank you for your prayers, and we ask that you continue to keep us in your prayers, that these Dragon Slayer newsletters continue to go out and encourage. You know, I'm seeing more and more. I saw this a couple different places today, got an email, and then saw the story on it. More and more of the reports coming out show that ivermectin really was effective for combating the COVID-19 virus, that more and more studies are out that prove its effectiveness, its affordability, and all of that. And the lies that were put out by the government and all those that bow down to the government on the use of ivermectin. Saw this one that had, there were over 100 studies done, but this one's in 51 studies. It showed a 49% lower mortality rate for those that were diagnosed with COVID-19, but that took ivermectin. And now this was in, like over 200 countries, these studies that were done, but had half the mortality rate of people that took conventional medicines to combat this COVID-19. And it's just interesting that here after the fact, back then, ivermectin, you can take horse warmer, are you crazy? You know, that's what many of us faced. Many of us just did it and didn't say anything about it. I talked to many of the remnant that were of that ilk that talked about it, but were very tight-lipped who they talked about it to. And I think there's wisdom there. And so it's not that we have to prove these things to the world. But if it works, see, there's some that will listen and some that won't. There's some that will have their eyes and ears opened and some that won't. There's some that are just so blinded and just so obedient to what my doctor said. And they let that be stronger in what they do and what they don't do than what they see and what they should be able to reason in their own minds. Anyway, it's just interesting that more and more studies are coming out that are saying, you know, that ivermectin wasn't so bad after all. It really was more effective than anything else in fighting this COVID-19. How about that? And I saw that finally, following the rest of the world, Germany finally ends the coronavirus vaccine mandate for their military. And I just mentioned that was like a link in one of these stories that You remember how that was. Oh, you had the military. They kicked people out of the military for not taking it. And, oh, you had to take it. You had to do your booster shots. It was necessary. And come to find out that it really wasn't. It really wasn't. So, anyway, you be the judge of that. But see, what this should be as well is a lesson for us. So that we remember. You remember the old hindsight being 20/20. Oh, it's easy now to look back on it, you might say. It's easy now to look back and say, oh, this worked and that didn't and blah. Well, you can look back and see where the lies were and where the truth was. And that's how we learn. That's how we grow. You know, scripturally, that's how we grow in faith. When we go through turmoil, when we go through trouble, troubling times in life, when we go through a health scare or a job loss or whatever it may be. Once we're through it and we turn around and see, we see that our God did not abandon us, that we didn't go through it alone, that He put people in place, maybe to give us an encouraging word, maybe to pray for us, maybe to, things were lined up to where it wasn't a catastrophe, it wasn't the end. Well, it might have been tough, it might have been through a Red Sea experience, but we didn't drown in it. And once we're through it, and once things calm down, and once we see that, well then, wow, yeah, many times we can go back and look and say, you know, God did deliver me through that. He did bring this person in my life that helped out. He did work it out. And we see that, of course, looking back. Well, we should learn from that, right? Those things increase our faith. They help our trust in God, in His Word, in the Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ. Where He says He does work all things for good for those that love Him. And when we experience that, we grow. That's part of growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It truly is. But we do that from physical experiences. So that the next time that it happens, because in life these things happen. You have car crashes. You have broken bones. There's illnesses. There's deaths. There's good days and days that we don't think are quite as good as some of the others. There's days that are full of pain and soreness, and there's days that you just feel really good and all is well, you might say. But in all of them, we are to praise Him because He doesn't abandon us. And anyway, so as we go through these things, we learn. And that's how it is with this, with, you know, when we see that, you know, we talked about the bird flu in the U.S. dairy cows. Now, haven't heard of any deaths. There's been two. They're saying two transmissions of dairy cows to people, one in April in Texas, one back in, what was it, in Michigan in May, first of the month, two. And the guy in Michigan had pink eye, but they're saying it came from the cow. Now, you know, we've had pink eye over the years many times. I don't think it came from raw milk. And so they're pushing and pushing this and saying, oh, raw milk, you can't have it. It's the most dangerous thing. You're playing Russian roulette if you drink raw milk and blah, 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 blah. And raw milk sales have never been higher. They continue to go up. And that is a good thing. Because I think it shows, Remnant, that more and more people are waking up to the lies. That, hey, and there was even in this article, I shared it a couple of weeks ago, that this one producer of raw milk, seller of raw milk, said, you know, it's interesting that whatever the FDA says, my customers do the opposite. That's called an awakening, people. That's people waking up. Now, it may not be to everything, but at least it is to that. At least it is to that. And that's a good thing. You know, a few weeks ago also, we shared with you how Congress had passed this Anti-Semitic Awareness Act. Criminalizes any criticism of the Israeli state or of Zionism. And, you know, basically it might be criminalizing the New Testament. And many people just kind of poo-pooed it and said, ah, well, I hadn't heard about it. And, you know, they haven't came and arrested me for having a Bible or reading or anything. And they haven't me either. You know, we sure try not to. We don't shy away from the Word. We don't shy away from what the Word says, because it is truth. And the Bible says all men are liars, but the Word of God is truth. And so it is that way, and you can stand on that. But I don't know if you saw that here recently, a high school senior, and hats off to him, I didn't print the article, but I've got a couple notes here. High school senior in Campbell, Kentucky, and I believe it was the valedictorian of the school, got his speech. And, you know, when you get to speak at high school, especially, or at your graduation, especially now, the speech has to be approved. And I can tell you, I spoke at my high school graduation. I was not the valedictorian. I was class president. And so I got to give a short little two-minute speech. And so when I put it together, I remember now, we're going back 40 years, okay, 41 years as a matter of fact, that I put it together and then went to the, had to present it to the speech class and the speech instructor. And, you know, she helped me tweak it a little bit. Well, you might, you know, try this instead of that. And so I remember doing that, and it had to have approval. You know, you couldn't get up there and just say anything. So it is that way today, much more today. So this guy got approval to mention Jesus Christ in his commencement speech. But he didn't just say, I know Jesus. He went in to say that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and that the peace and comfort that come from knowing him and him alone and the South. And he gives his testimony. And because he did that, the school is denying him his high school diploma. Okay? So he goes and praises Jesus Christ, the same Jesus Christ that this country was founded on, the same Jesus Christ that it says give glory to God in the Mayflower Compact, and to further the Christian religion, which is the religion of Jesus Christ. But because this student dares to praise Jesus Christ and go a little bit further than just mentioning, I know Jesus, they deny him his high school diploma. So we'll see how far this goes. But that was in Campbell, Kentucky. Campbell, Kentucky. I don't guess that's the Bible Belt anymore, huh? And so here in the land of the free and the home of the brave, that's what the public fool system does. How dare you go against what we've said and mention and speak more about Jesus Christ than we gave you permission to do, than what we approved. And so I saw that. It caught my eye. I did want to mention it to you because we see that happening. We see it happening. The government saying, oh, well, you can pray, but, you know, this is how you have to pray. And don't use that name. You might offend others. And, you know, we don't go around trying to offend. But if people are offended by what this nation was founded on, if they're offended by our God Jesus Christ, they're just going to have to be offended. That's all there is to it. That's how I look at it anyway. Again, we don't cram anything down anybody's throat, but we should not, as a people, and we have fallen into this because of our sin, we should not, as a people, not be able to praise our God in this land that he gave to us. But it is that way. it is that way. The lawlessness that abounds today, not just here, but all over. Did you see the, you know, the had a mess going on in Haiti here a couple months ago. The gangs rebelled. They overthrew the government. Still going on. That nothing has changed there. It's just gotten worse. The gangs have overrun. It is complete lawlessness in Haiti. It is like it was back in the 17, 1800s. Armed gangs have completely taken over. They've taken over the, I think, everything but the U.S. Embassy. We did send some more Marines down there to guard that. I haven't got an update on that. I've been asking and trying to find out about that. But there were a couple of missionaries, Davy and Natalie Lloyd. It was a, of course, they're white, and it was a Christian missionary group founded by Davy Lloyd's dad, I believe. And but they were killed. They were overrun and killed. And, you know, the details are not really forthcoming. They have been kidnapped, and supposedly everything they had was stolen. Who knows what happened to them? But they were killed. And they can't even get the remains back. Because, see, our government, our federal government is so weak. Oh, they try to put forth that they're strong, but they're so weak that they can't do that. They have no position of authority. They don't speak from a position of strength. And so these other nations are free to do that. We shared with you a few weeks ago, the State Department had issued a worldwide caution alert for Americans overseas everywhere. Everywhere, not just in the Sudan, not just in the Gaza, not just in Ukraine, Russia, everywhere. Everywhere. And we see these armed gangs in Haiti, oh, they're free to just kill. Who knows if they raped, murdered. They were already beaten up, the Davy. He had already been beaten and killed these white Christian missionaries, because it's what the Haitians do. Now, you can argue that fact till you're blue in the face. You know, these next generations that have been raised up, these last few, have not been taught that. But that is what Haitians do. That is what, when you get the other people together in gangs, it's what they do. They are bullies. They are murderers. And God allows these things to happen because of our sin as a nation. His word in Isaiah has not changed. It has not. It is just as relevant and important today as John 3:16 is, folks. We have to remember that. Isaiah is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us as Jesus Christ. Just as much as John 3:16 is. Actually, it's more. And Isaiah says, if you forget my law, I will forget your children. And we have forgotten his law. And by God, praise the Lord, he keeps his word, and he has forgotten our children. And that is why these black raging gangs are able to kill white missionaries, a son and a daughter, somebody's son and daughter. And, you know, many times the purpose is, well, they shouldn't have been there in the first place. Well, they had that call. And maybe they believed the lie. And I agree with you. The missionary, we need to missionary in this nation before we go out. I absolutely agree with that. But the Great Commission does say, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Baptizing and healing and teaching. It does say that. And dare I say, we do have Christian missionaries, probably in many countries. Many countries need it just as bad as this country needs it. There's no doubt about that. But see, it's just with impunity that these black lawless Haitian gangs are able to do that. So I would say pray for Davy and Natalie Lloyd's family. They're grieving. They're grieving. And you know, when it comes to, you might say, bad decisions today, we see a lot of bad decisions in our society today. Fatherless homes, unwed mothers, the opioid crisis, people choosing to do that. We see a lot of bad decisions. You know, the decision to be a Christian missionary is, it may not be the best, but it's probably not the worst decision. Anyway, I ask you to pray for Davy and Natalie Lloyd, for their families that have lost a son and a daughter. Think we'll have a song? I'll get me a drink of water. We'll be right back, folks. It is Thursday, May 30th, 2024, coming to you from the Radio Ranch. Be right back.
I remember a man bleeding and dying. Side of the road, when a man filled with religion stood alongside it, he said, I'll pray, but I just can't help carry the load. Along come another, and he was a preacher. Stood there looking straight at him, wouldn't even reach down now to try to help him. He just shook his head as he left town. Where is the love, Lord, that we're supposed to have? Kindness that we need to show. And where's the compassion? Somehow we let slip away. Where is the love, Lord? Has it too all passed away? Down and he helped him. He bound up his wounds, took him on his way, took him to his inn, told the man there to help him. He said if it cost any more when he got back, he would repay. Where is the love, Lord, that we're supposed to have? Where is the kindness we need to show? And where's the compassion somehow we let slip away? Where is the love, Lord, as until all passed away? Back, and he would repay.
Where is the love, Lord? Sometimes we have to wonder. We have to wonder. Well, want to get to Ezra. Hadn't been able to get over there yet. Want to get there while I've still got time tonight. And when you go and read the book of Ezra, you see that it was not, it was troubling times. It was troubling times, but it was there were those that were trying to return, right? The priests, the Levites, were returning, and of course the story. They're rebuilding the temple, and of course the adversaries hinder the work when you read through it. And so I encourage you to read through Ezra. You see there were some that were trying. The Passover was reinstituted, the king's heart was even turned back to Ezra. You know, Ezra, they're restoring the temple. Nehemiah, they're rebuilding the wall. The people that it goes in chapter 8 of Ezra 8, it talks about the people who went with Ezra. And it talks about them, and it numbers them. I want to start in verse 21 and read just a couple of scriptures here, because I think it has a message for us today. It does. Ezra 8, verse 21, he says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahavah, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him a safe journey for us, our little ones, and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request from the king troops and horses and horsemen to protect us from the enemy on the way, because we had said to the king, 'The hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek him, but his power and his anger are against all those who forsake him.'" Now, Ezra is reiterating this here. He's already said that to the king. Okay? This is what he said to the king. And it is true, the hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek him. But his power and his anger are against all those who forsake him. Now, Ezra didn't bring praise and glory to himself here. He didn't say, "Oh, king, you're a heathen. You don't know my God, but me, I know my God. My God will protect me." That's not what he said here. Our God, the hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek him, but his power and his anger are against all those who forsake him. And that holds true today as much as it ever did. Then he says, "Then I set apart 12 of the leading priests," and he names them, "and with 10 of their brothers, and he gives them jobs to do." And when you read on, there's... more and more, it was a time of repentance. You read in Ezra 8, in Ezra 9, verse 10, he says, "Now, our God, what shall we say after this? We have forsaken your commandments, which you have commanded your servants." It was a time of repentance and returning. And then we read in chapter 10 of Ezra. So I want to start there. Chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Now, while Ezra was praying and making confession, weeping and prostrating himself before the house of God." So you see, Ezra had a job to do. And he had made these proclamations to the king and to the people. It wasn't that all the people were of one mind before this. No, he had to make proclamations to the people that, listen, you've sinned. You've got foreign wives, and you're doing things that are not pleasing to God. You're not doing the things that he wants you to be doing. So he's praying, making confession, weeping, prostrating himself before the house of God. So let's read on. It says, while he was doing that, a very large assembly, men, women, and children, gathered to him from Israel, for the people wept bitterly. Shechaniah, the son of Jehaliel, one of the sons of Elam, said to Ezra, we have been unfaithful to our God. We have married foreign women from the peoples of the land. Yet now there is hope for Israel in spite of this. So now let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and their children, according to the counsel of my Lord, and those who tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Verse 4, arise, for this matter is your responsibility. My reference Bible says, it is upon you. But we will be with you. Be courageous and act. It says, then Ezra rose and made the leading priests, the Levites, and all Israel take oath that they would do according to this proposal. So they took the oath. Verse 7, they made a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to all the exiles that they should assemble. And they did. See, they called out sin. They confessed it among themselves, and they called it out, and they recognized where they had sinned. That's a great humility. It takes a great humility to do that. But they recognized that's what they had done, that they had been unfaithful to God and his law. And you know, people, that's where we are today. We have been unfaithful as a people to God and his law. We have our priests today, our false prophets today. They say that law is done away with, brother. You're under grace and mercy. And you can't keep that law for righteousness' sake. We just can't. It's contrary to you. And that's what we're taught today. And they use those scriptures out of context. And it sounds good. It sounds good that you can have your foreign wives. You can make all the usury you want. You can eat anything you want. You can do anything you want to do. God will forgive you. He's a God of love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. And he is. But his son Jesus Christ said, don't think that I came to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And his word says that doers, we are to be doers of his word, and not hearers only. And that denotes action. And that's what they did here in Ezra's day. Let me read what he said, what he told the king. Now, when he tells it to the king, it applies to the king, but it applies to you, and it applies to me, and it applies to all of us here in our land today. The hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek him. Because if you seek, the Bible says, you will find. And so those that do their best, that try, that seek him, that aim for that narrow gate, for that straight and narrow path, that's what they choose to be on, and choose to have come out of her, my people, and choose to follow him. The hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek him. See, that opens it up to the king as well. That's just presenting Bible truth to the king. King, I'm not going to ask you for protection. And even him, he says, I was ashamed to request from the king troops and horses. Because I told him our God would protect us. And you know what? God did protect them. God did bring them to this place of humility and confession. And he had protected them from the equivalent today of the black Haitian roving lawless gangs. And they're not just black and they're not just Haitian, but they're all over this country. Some of them wear badges. There's no doubt about that. But God protected them. Ezra proclaimed it before. He proclaims it here. He reiterates it and reminds the people of it. And it's for us today. We need to remember that the hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek him. And he works all things for good for those that love him, it says in Romans. What a blessing. But here's the other side of that coin. But his power and his anger are against all those who forsake him. Yes, like we read in Hosea 4:6. You forget my law, forget your children. That's power and anger against those who forsake him. And you know, as a nation, we have forsaken him today. And that is why we have the utter filth and crime and lawlessness and idiocracy in the land. That's why. But when we will be like those at Ezra, those that have come before us, those that Ezra spoke to, and confess our sins on a national level and say, Lord, we've been unfaithful to you. We have broken your law. We have broken your law. Now, we thank you for the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Absolutely. But we have broken your law. We have not been faithful where he has. And we are able to turn back to him because of Jesus Christ, because what Jesus has done for us, because he saved us with his blood. And I say I'm out of time this morning, or this evening, not morning, the sun's on the other side. I encourage you, I want to finish out with Romans 6, right? Romans 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. So see, that's how we share in the death of Jesus Christ. We have been buried with him through baptism into death. This is Paul's letter to the Romans, New Testament. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Great stuff, great stuff. Folks, I'm out of time. God bless. Thanks for tuning in. Join us Saturday morning for Coffee with the Wranglers. We'll talk to you then.
Looked in the mirror, saw me late.